Welcome back into Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. We've come to that point in the week where we get to take our trip to Planet Golf as we join Guy Cipriano, the editor at Golf Course Industry Magazine. Guy, as always, a pleasure to have you on the show, and boy, is there a lot to talk about today. The PGA Tour making a lot of news earlier today with a few more COVID-19 positive cases popping up. So we'll get into all of that here over the next few moments as well, and also kind of take a look at what went down this past week at another very exciting tournament at the RBC Heritage. And Guy, I want to start right there because you get a chance to toot your own horn here. On the show last week, you picked Webb Simpson to win the RBC Heritage, and boy, did he deliver for you on your prediction, firing a 7-under 64 on the final day.
Well, Bull, first off, thanks for having me again, and I hope all you and all your listeners are doing well. And boy, picking a winner of a golf tournament is a tough thing. You know, you have 150-plus players that start at a regular PGA Tour event, and almost any one of them, I would say about 90% of them, are capable of winning every week. So it's nothing to gloat about because you could go a whole entire season without picking any winner in any PGA Tour event. But no, Webb Simpson had a phenomenal final round. He had a phenomenal tournament. He was in the mix from day one. I was watching him closely, not only because of what I said on the show last week. He was also the pick in my fantasy golf league. So you pick somebody, you follow him. And he just was, it was like it was meant to be from the start. I think he was 5-under after the first round, and then tied for the lead after the second round, and then tied for the lead after the third round, although there were so many possibilities going into that final round. There were four players tied for the lead at 15-under, Webb Simpson, Tyrrell Hatton, Ryan Palmer, and Abe Anser, and then there were 15 players within two shots of the lead entering that final round. And then if you even wanted to go down further on the leaderboard, Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, and Dustin Johnson entered the final round within three shots of the lead. So anything could have happened that Sunday, but Webb Simpson's an experienced player and a player that is really closing in on a Hall of Fame caliber career. I don't think a lot of people realize that, and he had one of the best final rounds of that career.
I've got to ask you about your favorite shot of the tournament. I'll start with mine, Brooks Koepka. Third day, tee shot, par 3, 14th, which, you know, a lot of people actually looked at that and said that was one of the toughest holes in the entire course. He was able to get within 3 feet of the hole with an 8-iron. That was my favorite shot of the weekend.
Yeah, that was a heck of a shot, and I'm going to be boring on this question. To me, my favorite shot of the tournament was Webb Simpson's putt on number 17, the par 3. He hit it to 18 feet. He was at 21-under. Abe Anser was at 21-under. Simpson had to make that putt to take a shot lead. 18 is a really tough hole. It's more of a bogey possibility at Harbortown than a birdie possibility. And he just drains that 18-foot putt and makes par in the last hole and wins. So I'm going to be boring and go with something that happened on the green.
Well, coming up in a little bit, we will get into what to expect in Connecticut at the Travelers Championship this weekend. Again, that's kind of on hold right now as we wait and see what happens with the PGA Tour with some of these positive cases coming down. And again, we'll attack that in just a little bit. But I want to go a different direction with the interview for now, which involves a little bit of local flavor and a little bit of history as well. You took part in a 100-hole event nearby at Elyria Country Club yesterday. So I want to hear all about that experience, but that whole experience kind of began when you were out playing nine holes at Clearview Golf Club. So tell us about that whole experience and what brought those two experiences together.
Yeah, pretty random situation that led to a surreal opportunity that you think you're just never going to have. So on Sunday, I was playing on a Father's Day outing, or 12 of us were playing for Father's Day at the Quarry in Canton, which is a newer golf course and really popular. And we got done around 5 o'clock, and I decided to go play nine holes on my own. And I realized that I was near Clearview Golf Club, which is a place that I've always wanted to go to. I feel guilty that I had never been there in my 6 years and living in Northeast Ohio. For your listeners that aren't familiar, Clearview Golf Club is in East Canton, and it opened in 1946, and it was the first golf course designed, built, and owned by an African-American, a man named Bill Powell, who's an absolute legend in the game that really more people should know about, built this golf course after serving in World War II, and the family, the Powell family, has operated it and maintained it the whole way through the last 74 years, and I had never been there. I would argue it's probably one of the most historically significant golf courses in the United States, too. So after playing at the Quarry, I drive over there, and I'm going to play nine holes by myself walking, and I pull up, and there are two women there, and I recognize the one immediately. Well, she was on the phone, so I paid with one of the other women, and I introduced myself to the woman on the phone. Her name's Renee Powell. She's an absolute legend. She was the second African-American to play on the LPGA. She's a member of the Royal and Ancient Golf Club over in St. Andrews, Scotland. She's in the PGA Hall of Fame. She has served the game and has helped thousands in so many ways, really inspirational. So I didn't even realize she was on the phone when I introduced myself and said that we had met at an event 5 years ago. And then I get off the third hole, and Renee comes down and starts talking to me, and we had an hour conversation about her family and the course. And, you know, this is on Father's Day, right? Like, her dad, Bill, built this course in 1946 against all odds, did something that, you know, had not been done at that time, really a trailblazer in golf and in society, building that golf course in East Canton. And Renee, you know, even though she's traveled the world and she lived in England for a time and she played on the LPGA, you know, there she was, you know, just working at the golf course, 74 years old, working at the golf course that her father built on a Sunday evening with not a lot of people there. And we just had this wonderful conversation. And as I was talking to her, my phone started ringing. And afterwards, I look at it and I'm like, it's my boss. And my boss is asking me to play in a 100-hole golf outing less than 12 hours from when I was having this conversation with Renee at Clearview. Our company had a team in this outing at Elyria Country Club that benefited the Orange Effect Foundation, which helps kids and young adults that have speech impairments because of autism. And yeah, you don't get that call every day. Your boss saying, hey, do you want to play 100 holes of golf tomorrow? And we did it, and it was pretty random, and it was one of those things you'll never forget, especially after having that conversation with a legend like Renee Powell the previous evening and getting a chance to play and experience Elyria Country Club for the first time and to help a good cause and represent the company. And that was certainly unique. And I'm not sure how many of your listeners have ever played 100 holes of golf, but if you ever get that opportunity to do it in one day, drop everything you're doing and do it. Hopefully you're in good shape and your body can handle it. You really feel like after the first 18, you just kind of feel machine-like, it's get to the next shot, get to the next hole, finish before darkness. And we did, and it will be something that I'll never forget. And yeah, I think the most I'd ever played in a day was maybe 63 holes once with my father as a teenager. But yeah, 100 holes at a place like Elyria Country Club, which is a splendid piece of land, is it was a bit surreal, and you know that happened 2 days ago, and I'm still trying to process exactly what happened and why I got picked to do that.
100 holes. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking about it as you're explaining it. To me, I would have to buy about, I don't know, 400 sleeves of golf balls because I'm sure I would lose a ton out there trying to play 100 holes. But I would imagine that's it's taxing, yet it's so rewarding at the same time, isn't it?
Yeah, and I've run a marathon too. And somebody asked me, like, how did that compare to running a marathon, Bull? And I said, there's no comparison. Doing something like running a marathon is much more difficult than playing 100 holes of golf, especially because we had golf carts and there were only 12 groups on the course, so everybody was spaced out and you weren't really waiting on anyone. And I guess all the yoga and core work that I do every day did come and benefit. I didn't really feel physically sore. I think it's more of a mental thing because you finish 18 and you're like, it's when you're done, right? Like if you're playing the typical round of golf, 18, go home. You know, you're playing in a shotgun outing, 18, that's it. It's really interesting to have to do it five times and then play 10 holes after that. And I think where it really got me was the last 10 holes you're trying to finish before darkness. Our fifth 18 happened to be our best. It was our best round of the full ones. And you come off that last hole in that fifth round and you're like, man, we just posted a pretty good score. And then, oh, you got 10 more to go. And that was probably the most interesting part of it. I'm kind of curious now to see what playing golf will be like after doing this. I play in a golf league at Baba Link, and we're playing nine holes tonight. And I'm wondering what it's going to be like just ending after nine holes after playing 100 holes a few days earlier.
We are talking to an exhausted Guy Cipriotto, editor of Golf Course Industry Magazine, here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Well, we will look forward to hearing what that experience is like when we have you on again next week. But, Guy, let's transition into this weekend. Now, with some positive cases coming down, Nick Watney was one of the first ones to come down with a positive case in the PGA Tour, and we've since learned about some positive cases for the caddies of Graham McDowell and Brooks Koepka, and not exactly sure how that's going to affect things moving into the Travelers Championship this weekend in Connecticut. Brooks Koepka, Graham McDowell have already withdrawn from this weekend's festivities, but, you know, having all of that at our disposal going into this weekend, as you take a look at the Travelers Championship, what kinds of things stand out about the course and this field?
Yeah, the first thing, kudos to Brooks Koepka and Graham McDowell for being proactive. They were not the ones that tested positive, Bull. Their caddies did, but they did the responsible thing. They withdrew from the tournament, even though none of their tests have come up positive. They're going to go on and plot out what they're going to do next. So that's the responsible thing to do. And let's face it, when you're traveling and going from city to city and site from site, and you think about all the things that go on from a Monday to a Sunday at a PGA Tour site, and it really is like a traveling carnival or roadshow if anyone's ever been behind the scenes, it's impossible to keep everyone in a bubble. That just isn't going to happen. It's not the same players every week. People are flying in from all over the place to play a week and then maybe take a week off and go somewhere else. And you're just never – it's with any of these sports, Bull. You're not going to have a system where people aren't going to test positive. But with that said, let's hope the tournament gets played. It's a fabulous event. It's one of the staples on the PGA Tour. It used to be the Connecticut Open and the Greater Hartford Open, and now it's the Travelers Championship. It's been played at TPC River Highlands, I think, for close to 35 years. It's a fun golf course, par 70, 6,841 yards. Pete Dye did the work there in 1982, and then one of his associates, Bobby Weed, has done some of the tweaks there over the years in conjunction with the PGA Tour. It's a TPC facility, TPC River Highlands. It's a fun event. It's a great community event. It's too bad that there can't be fans there this year, because this is one of the – it's the second best attended regular season non-major PGA Tour event behind the Waste Management Phoenix Open. It's a course where there's a lot of possibilities. There's water in play on five of the holes. There's a par four that's drivable, number I believe it's number 15. That hole always has a lot of drama. The 18 is a good strong closing hole. The course doesn't really favor one type of player. It's going to be played on bent grass greens and Poa Annua greens, and then bent grass fairways and Poa fairways. So it's a little bit of a different turf conditions than what we saw at Harbortown last week, where it was Bermuda grass. The director of golf course maintenance, Jeff Reich, and his team always have this place in excellent condition. Connecticut, of course, is kind of in the epicenter where COVID-19 started. It's not far from New York City, so it was an interesting spring up there. It was one of the few states in the Northeast where golf never really shut down for any extended period of time. And it's going to be a fun tournament to watch. Great field. The last few years, it's been the week after the U.S. Open, and they've attracted some awesome fields, but nothing quite like the field that's coming here this weekend, and there are a lot of top players there. And like I said, it's a type of golf course where it doesn't really favor any particular player.
It doesn't favor any particular player, but boy, you've been on fire with your predictions the last couple of weeks on the show, especially. I mean, heck, we started today's interview by giving you the opportunity to gloat just a little bit because you did pick Webb Simpson last week. So our listeners are kind of curious as to who Guy Cipriano was going to pick this week. So who are you going with this weekend at the Travelers Championship?
Okay, so I said it doesn't favor any particular player, but there is a particular player in the field that has had unbelievable success here. I'm talking about Bubba Watson. He was the champion in 2018, 2015, 2010. He was the runner-up in 2012. He was fourth in 2013. He's a very streaky player. And if you look at, you know, we talk about Hall of Famers and whether, you know, Webb Simpson is going to get into the Hall of Fame. And Webb Simpson's probably one major championship away from reaching that status. Well, Bubba Watson's going to be a Hall of Famer. And if you look at his career and where his wins are, well, he's won twice at Augusta National, three times at TPC River Highlands, and then he's won another three times at Riviera Country Club in L.A., where they play the Genesis Invitational. So, you know, eight of his PGA Tour wins are on just three courses. I don't know what it is about TPC River Highlands that fits Bubba Watson's game. He's a player where if he's comfortable on a golf course, though, he's proven that he can beat anybody. He's playing pretty well since the PGA Tour restart. He had a top 10 in Colonial Country Club 2 weeks ago, so he's in good form, and he's the person that I'm really eyeing this week. And, you know, who knows? You know, he wins at TPC River Highlands. He's a very streaky player. Maybe he gets on a roll and picks off two or three titles this season. You know, it seems like he hasn't been in the mix a lot lately, but just 2 years ago, 2018, he won the Travelers Championship, the WGC Dell Match Play, and the Genesis Invitational. So he's a very streaky player, and it seems like he's handled this restart situation well. So he's somebody that I really look to this week to potentially have a big week and maybe hoist that trophy on Sunday evening.
And it'll be interesting to follow what, again, has become a pretty fluid situation with some of these other positive tests coming up for COVID-19 on the tour, although that's something, Guy, I think that we'll attack next week. But you get the impression that the PGA Tour, amongst many other major sports leagues here in America, are going to have to contend with this moving forward.
It's just something that's going to be they're going to have to manage. It's not going to go away, at least in the short term. You're not going to completely prevent people from getting COVID-19, especially athletes that are traveling all over the country. So it's going to be interesting to see how the PGA Tour manages it. They're going to have to take some proactive measures here, and everybody thought that they had some pretty tight policies in place, but they're going to really have to tighten things up because there's certainly a lot of scrutiny with what's going on, especially now that some players are testing positive. Nick Watney last week, Cam Champ already this week, and, you know, who knows, there could be a few more as the week progresses. So I think the most important thing, Bull, is not what type of competition it is this week at TPC River Highlands. The most important thing is that they're able to safely complete the competition.
Yes, could not agree more. 100% correct. Well, Guy, as always, we appreciate you joining us. Thank you so much for the time, and we look forward to catching up with you again next week.
Yep, thanks for having me, Bull, and have a good rest of the show.
Thank you, Guy. Much appreciated. Again, that's Guy Cipriano, the editor at Golf Course Industry Magazine, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Let's step aside and take a break. We will return right after this here on AM 930 WEOL and on 100.3 FM.